Wow. That song is beautiful. Anybody ever have trouble getting in the Christmas spirit? I wish I could have Christmas tomorrow now, because that was beautiful. Thank you so much. I want to say thanks to our all of our praise team people, the band, everybody who's singing. On days like today, sometimes it's hard to get motivated because, you know, I mean, we know crowd's going to be low and all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't really matter because we don't do it for y'all. And y'all aren't doing it for us. Tony said it, we have an audience of one. Man, that was good. So we offer our worship to God today. And it's real easy to please an audience of one, whether there's 200 people in here or whether there's two people in here. And so, man, that was great. Thank you so much. This morning we're going to continue our look at the Nativity, I think. I really feel the Spirit of God moving in here this morning, and it's probably an answer to my prayer because this has been a weird Christmas for my family. And on my way into church this morning, I was praying, and I said, God, I never have been one to really doubt God and His existence, but sometimes I was praying this morning, is sometimes, God, what I doubt is my relationship with You. And I said, God, I just really need You to show me You and our relationship and just really just kind of shake me up a little bit. And so I'm glad that God didn't wait, and it happened in the service this morning, namely in that song, and so I'm so thankful for that. As we talk about Christmas and we talk about the Nativity, what I'm hoping that we can do over the course of the last few weeks is just kind of step back from this decoration that we look at so often and really take a look at who these individuals were and what was going on in their lives. Because here's what I hope that we can all understand. As we live day to day and we encounter God each and every day, these people experience that exact same thing. A lot of times we want to put them on a table, and we want to look at them like, oh, that's Mary and that's Joseph, and these people are somehow different than us. They were just ordinary people. And God did extraordinary things through them because of their obedience. And we're looking at the wise men this morning. I'm a person, if you know me well at all, who has some things that I like to pursue in my life. Probably the two greatest things other than Christ and my wife that I like to pursue are white-tailed deer and turkeys, wild turkeys. And I love to do both. There's just a lot of stuff that goes into it, though. And those of you who hunt, you understand what I'm talking about. Those of you who don't, you just think that we get up in the morning and we go out and we sit in a tree or sit underneath a tree and wait for something to happen. But that's just not what happens. There's a lot of prep that goes into it. There's a lot of time and effort, blood, sweat, really blood, sweat, and even tears that goes into pursuing these animals sometimes. That may sound crazy to you, but for those of us who are committed to doing this, you get what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't, you're like, oh, that sounds nuts. But you have something in your life, too, that you pursue. I want you to try to identify it this morning. I spend a lot of money and a lot of time pursuing white-tailed deer and wild turkeys. I brave the weather, sometimes inclement weather conditions, because I'm dedicated to doing it. I actually started to add up the deer that I have killed. This is just deer. This doesn't go into turkeys. But the deer that I've killed and the hours that I've invested, and I'm glad Mindy's not here to hear this morning. Our girls are sick. I have invested approximately 300 hours per deer harvested. Isn't that horrible? Like Mindy, one of the things that Mindy says, like one of the ways that I convince her that it's a good investment of my time and money and energy is that this is free meat. This meat is not free at all. I have a hunting buddy that says that he figures deer meat costs about $1,000 a pound. So you see, we really invest into these things. And this morning we're going to look at but we're going to look at these wise men who say, you know, they really invested, they really sought after and pursued something. And I think a lot of times we think that, you know, there was a star, they followed it, no big deal. But really these guys put it all on the line to find Jesus. We're going to look at Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. And if you'd stand with me, we'll read that this morning. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. This is a quote, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Let's pray. Father, as we open your scripture, your word this morning, I just pray that you would speak to us, that you would reveal your will to us, that you would help us understand what it really means to seek you out, to pursue you. Lord, that we would leave today with a fresh and new commitment to really finding you. I pray if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you, that they'd give up the fight. That they would take on a new fight. And that is a lifelong fight to finding and serving you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So here we look at the wise men. And in all of our nativities, there's three. I shared with you a few weeks ago that one of mine was broken. Thank goodness it was the one I had multiples of. And then I get my nativity out again and find out that actually I have more broken pieces. And so depending on the fragility of your nativity, you may have two wise men, you may have one wise man. There probably wasn't really three wise men. If you notice in the scripture, it never tells us how many there were. We get the number three because of the gifts that are listed. There were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh that are listed in scripture. And so we know that here's these wise men, and this is what we're going to find this morning. It's an example of what it means to really seek Jesus. And I just want to ask you this morning, have you ever wanted to experience more of Christ? Have you ever really just thought about, I just want more of Jesus? That's part of my prayer this morning as I was coming into church. It's just like, God, it seems like sometimes things get a little stale. Anybody ever been there? You just not that things are bad, but just that, man, I know God probably wants more from me. And so we have this desire to experience more of Christ. There's three things that we're going to look at this morning from the wise men that I think will help us. The first is this: we have to embrace the journey. As we follow Christ, we have to embrace the journey. Verses 1 and 2 says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from the eastern land arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? So here we go. They travel from the east. This is probably Persia to Jerusalem. And we have to understand that this travel, that this journey could have been perilous. It's over 1,000 miles, and it probably would have taken months for them to get to Bethlehem. This is a major trade route, and it's very dangerous. Now, you think about this, and you think, well, why would this be dangerous? Because this is where people would take a very expensive things from one place, 1,000 miles to somewhere else. And any time in ancient times that you had these worn down trade routes, you had people who would stay on these routes, burglars, bandits that would use this as an opportunity to steal. And they would use it to their advantage. And so here you have these people that are these bandits that are trying to attack and to plunder the people who are traveling along this route. It's very, very dangerous. The other thing that I was thinking about was making this preparation is that here these wise men are, and we know that there probably wasn't three. There were probably more than that. We think about them riding on camels, and they may have done that, but we also know that in order for them to travel this long distance, and to travel in what we assume would be wealth, they probably had to have some people with them to protect them. And so this is probably a large group of people that are making this journey, this 1,000-mile journey from Persia to Bethlehem, and they show up into a neighboring kingdom unannounced. This is also very dangerous, because here's the deal. You have this large group of people with people that are there to protect you, that are armed to the hilt. You've made this journey, and you must have some might if you make the journey in the first place. And then you show up in this kingdom unannounced. These guys were motivated. They risked time. They risked resources. And they even risked their life to some extent to find Jesus. They embraced the journey. They believed that following the star and finding Jesus was worth it. What about us? What about our journey? Do we really embrace it? It's a spiritual journey. It's a relational journey. And I believe that God calls everyone to this. God wants to be the object of our pursuit. And some of us have been following Jesus for a long time. Some of us we're saved at a very young age, and we might even think to ourselves, well, I already found him. My journey is over. Listen, the journey is never over. As we follow God, as we get closer to Jesus, we have to walk this path our entire lives. Philippians 1:6 says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. God's work in us is never done until Christ comes back. We can't stop. We begin this thing and we have to continue it forever, for as long as we live. Let me ask you this morning, where are you in your relationship with Christ? Maybe you haven't started it yet. Maybe you've just never really bought into the fact that God even exists. Maybe you don't really understand, or maybe you just don't want to give up your life to live for Christ. Maybe you have. Maybe you followed Jesus, but you've gotten sidetracked. Other things became more important, and you just can kind of let it move to the back burner. Or maybe you gave your life to Christ, but it just stalled out completely. You've never really experienced anything great. You certainly haven't experienced anything in recent years or recent months, and you just feel like your relationship with Christ is almost non-existent. Or maybe you have followed Jesus for a very long time and you embrace the relational journey and your life is new and the adventure is great and you're learning and you're growing each and every day. But I can know this for sure, that no matter where you are in your relationship with Christ, if you want more, then you need to do the next thing that the wise men did, and that is earnestly seek. They embrace the journey and they earnestly seek. Their inquiry is this. They ask Herod, where is the king? Here, verse 2. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. Can you imagine? They get an audience with King Herod, who wasn't known to be a super nice guy. And here they are, they're standing before King Herod, and this is the question that they ask. Just think about this for a minute. The king is standing in front of them, they are standing beneath him, and they say, where's the king? You don't think that's a little bit dangerous? You don't think that's bold? These guys have guts. Where's the king? Yeah, we see you, but where's the king? The real king of the Jews was born. Where is he? You should know where he is. The people should know where he is. Where is he? They expected everyone to know. Another thing that they did is they didn't overcomplicate it. They just asked, right? They just asked. And their question led to discovery. The other people, the scholars, get together. They start to read the scripture and they say, you know what? This Messiah is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. What about our inquiry? When we are we earnestly seeking Christ? Are we really asking questions? I really think that a lot of times we don't ask. We don't search. We just don't put the work into it. Matthew 7:7-8 says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. See, we have to seek until we find answers. That's what's required of us as we earnestly seek Jesus. We have to seek until we find answers. Now, this scripture in Matthew 7 is talking a lot about prayer. And so some people would say, well, maybe this isn't really about how we seek after Christ. But listen, I believe this. Prayer is foundational in our relationship with Christ. We cannot have a relationship with Jesus without praying. And so part of our spiritual journey, part of this relational journey that we take with God is one of prayer, where we're really seeking out Jesus and we're praying, we're earnestly seeking. Most of us are simply lazy in our relationship with God. I'm lazy sometimes when it comes to my relationship with God. I don't want to get up early enough. I don't want to stay up late enough. I don't want to set the time aside to spend time in prayer. I don't want to read the scripture. And a lot of people say, well, I just can't even stay awake. Well, do it when you're not sleepy. Man, I've been there. That's my solution to my problem. We have to earnestly seek. You think about anything we do in life that with passion, we do it in a way that we get results. And that's what we have to do with our relationship with God. We have to seek until we find answers. We have to ask questions, even if they seem elementary and plain. The wise men asked this simple question, where is the newborn King of the Jews? And they found an answer. We have to search Scripture because that's ultimately where their answer came from. There's one final thing that we have to learn from the wise men. We have to embrace the journey, we have to earnestly seek, and we have to sacrificially worship. Let's look at their worship. It cost them something. The gifts that they gave were not cheap gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Two of those don't make any sense to us hardly, but the gold we get, right? They were expensive. It cost them something. And the other thing that I think is really interesting about the wise men, they came prepared. Like they didn't get to Jesus and say all of a sudden, like, what are we going to do to worship him? No, they were prepared. 1,000-mile journey, but they toted the stuff with them the entire way because they knew this person that we are seeking after is worth our sacrificial worship. They came prepared. Let's look at the gifts a little bit. A lot's been said about the gifts. The gifts are this: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, gold is representative of Jesus' earthly kingship. He was going to be the king of God's people. The frankincense is representative of his priesthood. This is an incense burned in the temple, and Jesus is the priest, the high priest that stands before God for all of us. And myrrh, as strange as it may seem, this gift is an embalming oil that represents Jesus' death. And we look at this and we say, did these wise men know everything that was going to happen? Maybe we call them wise for that reason. But I know this. They were expensive and they had meaning. And if we just use these three things as opportunity for us to worship God, if I went to Jesus and I said, God, I'm coming to you this morning and I'm praying to you, seeking your heart because you are my king. There is no other king above you. And you take all of my petitions and my prayers before God. You represent me before God himself. And you died because you love me. Then we start to see sacrificial worship. How are we worshiping? Are we really willing to worship sacrificially? Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16 says this. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Now, I don't know about you. Whenever I read that, I go, well, that doesn't sound all that sacrificial. A sacrifice of praise, proclaiming our allegiance to his name, and to do good to those in need. I mean, worship, right? It's just something that happens on Sunday. Look at the sacrifices in this verse. The sacrifice of praise. We look at this and we think, man, that doesn't sound like a big deal. But listen, it's not really always easy to give praise to God when things aren't going our way, is it? It's hard. When we have pain in life, when there's hardship in life, when we're facing trials, it's not always easy to praise God. But this says that when we are sacrificing, when we are, these are the sacrifices that please God, our sacrifice of praise. The other thing is our sacrifice of goodness. It's hard to choose the good things when others have done us wrong, right? It's hard to choose to do the right thing or the good thing or to treat people well whenever people are treating us bad. But this verse says that this is the sacrifice that pleases God. Meeting needs. It's not convenient to meet other person's needs. It requires time. It requires resources. And it requires us to say no to ourselves so that we can say yes to others. But the scripture says that these are the sacrifices that please God. We please God with our sacrificial praise. We please God with our sacrificial goodness. We please God by sacrificially meeting the needs of others. This is our sacrificial act of worship. But it has to be a sacrifice, because if we're only doing this stuff in the good times, then it's not really sacrificial. So we have to be doing it all of the time, in the good and the bad. Confession time for me. Sometimes I get really excited to go back to what I was talking about at the beginning, about seeking and pursuing an animal. Deer season is almost over, and it's kind of been sad. I haven't been able to do it as much as I wanted to, but I shot a really big deer. Praise the Lord. Turkey season's coming, and I can't wait. I got some turkey decoys for Christmas, and I'm so excited to use them. But sometimes I don't get overly excited about pursuing my relationship with Jesus. I'm just going to be real honest. It's not something that I always wake up every morning going, man, if I could just get closer to God today. If I could just do that extra piece of sacrifice to make sure that something happens, that I get that extra edge, that I can make it work. Just think about yourself. What are the things that motivate you? What are the things that you just really get jacked up about? And then think about this. Are you spending the same amount of time and energy on your relationship with God? Do you ever feel that way? I don't say that this morning to make you feel guilty. What I hope that we can do this morning is be encouraged and be motivated to do the things necessary to seek God in the same way that we seek the other stuff in life. And I really believe that the way that we can do that is by embracing the journey, understanding that this is not something that we ever attain, but this is a journey that I'm going to be on for the rest of my life. And in doing that, I have to earnestly seek Jesus in prayer, by asking questions, by opening His Word, and then out of response to that, I have to sacrificially worship Him with my praise, with choosing the good things in life, by meeting the needs of others. And we do all of this because it's worth it. And it's worth it because Jesus is worth it. Like that song that we just sang said, because this is love. No other thing in all of history, in all of truth, and all of fiction, can show us a picture of love like God's Son leaving heaven to come and be with us. And that is why this year, I don't know why it keeps popping up, but every time I look somewhere or I read something that is shared on social media or an article that I read or a blog post that I read about Christmas, it's always coming back to Emmanuel, God with us. Are we living every day in a way that brings God closer to us? Let's pray. Stand with me. God, I want to be close to you. I want our church, our people, to be close to you. As I think about my life, there's nothing that I would like more than just be known as a person who is so inseparably close to God and who has raised a family who is the same and who is a part of a church that is the same. I just look at that and I don't think about it for credit, but just as something amazing to be a part of. A people that can say, we live Emmanuel. We live God with us. And God, I really believe that the way we do that is by following the example of the wise men and saying, you know what? we're going to have to embrace the journey. It's not going to be easy. It's going to cost us some stuff. It's going to be dangerous at times. My reputation is going to be on the line. All the things we talked about over the last 3 weeks. Like, that's all possible. But I'm going to embrace it. I'm not going to hide from it. I'm not going to shrink back. I'm going to embrace the journey. And I'm going to earnestly seek Jesus through prayer, through asking questions, through finding answers in the Word. I'm going to seek Him. And then, no matter how hard it is, no matter how bad the weather is or how depressed I feel, or no matter how many family members I've lost, it makes life seem so hard, I'm going to choose to give praise to God. No matter how bad my finances are, I'm going to choose to give praise to God. No matter how bad my health is, I'm going to choose to give praise to God, because it's the sacrificial praise and it's the sacrificial goodness that pleases You. So God, help us to be people who are embracing the journey, who are seeking You earnestly, and who are worshiping You sacrificially. In Jesus' name.